And welcome back once again for the Parish of the Patriots, 337th time. We just keep rolling. There's no stopping this train. I appreciate you joining us this week. We'll have a fun discussion. If you're new, I hope you'll stick through the whole show. We do have a Christian-specific segment that comes in roughly the halfway mark of the show. And I say roughly because a lot of times we'll come in a lot early. But I will tell you, when we transition to that, in case whatever demons or spirits you entertain just can't take it, you won't have to feel uncomfortable and you can bail. Maybe you want to, but you might want to stick with that. I don't know. I don't care, but it is there. It is designed more or less geared towards people who are already believers. It's not really geared to convince anybody to become a believer. If you do that, that's great. Praise God for it. But it is geared towards people who are already believers. I like to think of it as a more advanced class. It ain't kindergarten, at least. But anyway, encourage you to stick around for that. We have fun discussions here at the front. Sometimes the first part of the show. Sometimes informative. Sometimes just entertaining. Sometimes I might just cut jokes. I don't know. I think they're pretty good. Either way, if you get something out of the show, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. We got snail mail. That's what we got. I know you're going to see some Bitcoin addresses floating around on Radio Albion. Those are Sven's. He put those up before he went away. Sven will be back soon. We're counting down. God, we counted. Believe me, no one's counting down more than me. And I have no access to those. I couldn't get in them if I wanted to. I don't do cryptocurrency. I quit that a long time ago because here in the U.S., they just made it. There's a lot of regulation involved. I know you there's ways you can do it, but I don't want to get into it. It's easier for me. Quite frankly, it was not a big enough part of anything to make it worth the hassle. I got snail mail. There's an address. You can address an envelope, stick a stamp on it, send it to me. Folks, it don't get any easier than that. That having been said, Lay listener supporter mailbag GPD. I'm late as usual on my part. Hope all is well there, at least. I'm having a bit of a rough patch, but as Uncle A said, life is a struggle. We persevere and soldier on. Hard times make us strong. Until the next one. That's from Jackie. I appreciate it, Jackie. And you know, there's a lot of struggles because we're inundated just with these constant lies and stuff. They're inundating with stuff. I don't know what you got going on, Jackie. I hope everything works out. And you know what? Every day holds promise for something else. We just got to center back on what we're supposed to be doing and just keep at it. This is what life is. I know our own Dr. Johnson said it, and my experience when I look at things confirms this. And as unpleasant as it is, the struggles and the rough patches are where we get our growth. You know, that's where we get the vast majority. It's never fun, but where it is where the vast majority of our growth comes from. That gets us through our listener supporter mailbag. But yeah, no, it's a lot of crazy stuff. Inundating us with crazy stuff. I'm going to have some fun. I thought we had some fun with some conspiracy stuff today. We're going to talk about a little bit of conspiracy stuff and some hot take on this. Now, one of the more fun things that I find is this, and I've mentioned it before, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with it, and that's the Mandela effect. Because I'm up in age. If you're young, it ain't going to mean anything to you. But if you're like me and you're getting up in age, you remember things different, and they're telling us Fruit of the Loom never had no cornucopia, and we know it did. I mean, we'll get into that here in a minute. One of my personal Mandela effects is back before this last election, I read a story, and they said Dick Cheney came out and said, don't vote for Donald Trump. He'd rather you vote for Kamala Harris. And I was shocked by this, not because Dick Cheney would say such a thing, but because I swore up and down that Dick Cheney died like 10 years ago. Because the guy's had like, I don't know, 8 open heart surgeries or some shit. And he finally had a heart attack and died. I swore up and down that some bitch, that guy was dead already. I swore up and down. And then they're like, Dick Cheney, I'm like, what is he? Did y'all have like a seance? Did you go down in his basement and get out the Ouija board? And his hand reached up from the gates of hell and said, support Israel no matter what, have more wars, and don't support Donald Trump. I was pretty sure that some bitch was already in hell. And you're telling me he's still alive? That's one of my personal Mandela effects. But I'm thinking about the Mandela effect. Because a lot of times I've seen videos, you know, people talking about the Mandela effect. And probably the most common theory you will hear from people to explain it, because I do believe it's a real thing, you have all these people remembering things differently. And the most common answer, and you have to remember, when people come up with answers to these lies they tell us, you know, they have to basically make something up because we don't have all the information. They're withholding the information from us, so we have to guess. And I think people should always be more clear about that. You know, well, I don't know, but I'm guessing that this could be it. And one of the more common guesses that I see is that we're jumping timelines. This is why there's a Mandela effect, because we're jumping timelines. And this gets off into a whole nother thing. I don't think we're jumping timelines, by the way. I will give you my theory of what I think is happening with this. And again, it's not meant to be taken too seriously, because I don't know either. I do know they lie to us. We can always start with that's a safe place to spawn at and work out from. But the most common thing I see people floating out explaining is that we're jumping timelines. I've even seen things where, you know, the world ended in 2020, the world ended in 2012, and we're actually just jumping from timeline to timeline to timeline, and we're just reliving these things. Another thing is that I see out there people floating around in these circles. And by the way, I find it fun. This is something I look at. I read some of this material, watch some of these videos, because I find it entertaining. And I'm able to look at these things. I think the proper way to watch and look at these things is just be able to look at them and see if there's any information there or not. You know, take it with a grain of salt. You don't have to buy into everything you see. Anyway, another one of the things that is pretty common out there is that we're actually just living in a simulation. We're living in a computer-generated... Somehow we have a giant computer now. Anything but get to the spiritual aspect of it, I suppose. We're living in a giant computer simulation, like the holodeck on the Enterprise or whatever. We're living in a simulation, and the simulation is glitching. Another common thing is the Matrix. You know, we're seeing glitches in the Matrix. Because it's like a movie. Without getting too off into it, I think this also points to one of the roles that movies and TV shows that were popular over the years have done. We watch these shows, and while we're watching them, we watch these movies, we know they're fiction. But our brain puts those files away, and it doesn't distinct. It doesn't have a separate, this is made up bullshit file. It just puts them away. And then when they present us something and tell us it's real, that if we look at it critically, it's obviously bullshit. Our brains go back and look for something similar to reference, and it looks at those files of movies and such that we saw, and it'll say, yeah, I've got something references to. You know, I saw these space shows, and yeah, people were able to fly around galaxies in their spaceships. So people say, we're in the Matrix. Now, I do think a lot of these theories points to the fact that we do live in a temporal realm that God created for us. If we live in a computer simulation, if we live in a computer simulation or something such as this, the Matrix, well, somebody had to make it. Who could that be? I think this is a part of people actually recognizing that we live in a created realm. But because their hearts are so hardened against the Lord, they won't acknowledge him. So they invent some nonsense about we're living in a giant computer or some shit. We're not real. We live in a computer. Who made the computer? I don't know. Space aliens or some shit. Anyway. What was I talking about? What the hell was I? Mandela effect. Yeah, Mandela effect. Anyway, people try to explain the Mandela effect with a lot of this. nonsense. But I do think it's real. Like I say, if you're up in age, there's going to be things you remember, and then they tell you, no, that's not real. They'll tell you it's the Berenstain Bears, not the Berenstain Bears. And yet people can produce books that have the Stein spelling. Why is that? They tell you there was no cornucopia on the Fruit of the Loom underwear back in the day because they figure how many people are going to actually still have a pair of underwear from, say, 1986. And yet I have seen where people somehow did. I don't know why or how, but they did. And there's the cornucopia. Okay, I thought you lying bastards said there never was one. So what is the point of it? What's the point? Now I'm going to get into some of my theorizing about it. And if you're not interested, I apologize. We'll get into the Christian specific segment here in a little bit, and that'll probably be more interesting. I find it interesting. I don't think, for starters, I don't know. I don't think we're jumping timelines. I think that's silly. But what I do think is they're messing with our perception of reality. And this comes back to control. Man, we know they're obsessed with control. This comes back to control. Now, since we're doing conspiracy things, I believe this ties in with 5G, since we're having some fun. Again, don't take this too seriously. This is just going out there and thinking of possibilities. I think it ties in with 5G. I've read where 5G actually operates more or less on the same wavelength as the human brainwave. I've never seen anything to dispute that. I could be wrong. But with the big push for 5G, putting up 5G towers, they told us they were doing this to speed up our internet. I haven't noticed any speeding up. Have you? And again, we know we have a safe starting point. We have this safe spot we can start from, which is that the people who tell us these things lie all the time. They have a perfect track record of lying to us. They may tell us partial truths, but there's always a lie like a cancer wrapped around it. 5G is important because it's going to give you faster internet. Like, they care about that. And nobody's noticed any faster internet. It operates more or less on the same frequency as the human brain wave. You say, I don't think we're jumping timelines. I think this is a push to manipulate our perception of things. You know, they tell us, you couple it with these other things. They tell us this, you know. In other words, I don't think they care about whether you believe there was a cornucopia on the Fruit of the Loom when there obviously was. It's not about that. Those are experiments. They do it on these little things because it's not a big enough thing to worry about. That's to test and see how well it works. In other words, they're trying to manipulate the way you perceive things. We're not jumping timelines. They're manipulating. And I suspect 5G is a part of that. I also suspect that's why some days my tinnitus is so bad. It's like there's a screaming cymbal in my ear or something. So I'm banging a cymbal in my ear. They're manipulating our perception of reality and the way we remember things. And it's not so much, I don't think it's so much about making you remember things a certain way. It's about sowing confusion. If you don't know what reality is, if you don't know what the truth is, at some point in time, you throw up your hands, you give up, and it's just going to be whatever they say it is, which is exactly what they would like. Now, hang with me on this. If we keep in this realm of this being a push to manipulate our perception of reality, history, think about how things have changed. Back in my day, we had what was called the Encyclopedia Britannica. If you're young, you ain't going to know what that is. If you're my age or older, you know right away what the Encyclopedia Britannica was. The Encyclopedia Britannica was this. It wasn't a single book. It was an entire set of these big, thick books. And they were expensive. I don't remember. I want to say they were like a set of them was like $600. And back in the day, $600 was a lot of money. That ain't pocket change now. It was a lot of money back in the day. It was a prestige thing. You remember that? It was a prestige thing. Like if you had friends, like you were a kid and you have friends and you went over to your friend's house and their parents wanted to make sure that you knew that they had like a little bit of money, they'd be like, we have the Encyclopedia Britannica if y'all ever need that for your homework. And there it is up on the shelf. Be this big row of these big thick ass books. And you find any information about anything. That was the internet search engine of the 70s and 80s. If you needed to know about the lifespan of a lion in Africa, you could go find it in the Encyclopedia Britannica. There would be a volume in there on that. You could look it up, and every damn thing you might ever want to know about lions is in that sumbitch. That's why it costs $600. It's a flex. I've got the Encyclopedia Britannica. We was poor growing up. We didn't have no Encyclopedia Britannica. And then you would get it in the people that did get it, they would get it in like segments, you know. People be like, you know, flexing. Be like, oh, yes, I'm getting this for my children. The Encyclopedia Britannica is very important for their education because they're going to go to college and all. But then you go in there and look and they got like four books. And you're like, where'd the rest of them? Oh, well, they haven't got them yet. Yeah, because you can't afford all of them at once. If you bought the whole set, it's like $600. But you could buy one book at a time, see, and it wasn't so expensive. They're trying to flex, and you're like, but you ain't got but three volumes in here. And they're like 10 or something. We're working on that. Yeah, you ain't got the money. Be trying to flex up on nobody with your Encyclopedia Britannica, and you ain't even got the whole set. The point here is, if you had, because you could go to the library and they'd have Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, the thing might be old, but they had a set, you know, because they'd update this thing every couple of years. And you might have an Encyclopedia Britannica set from 10 years ago, but it was better than nothing. The point is, virtually anything you wanted to know about in the world, it was in there. It is an impressive work. It really is. It was the shit. If you wanted to know about something, you could get it in the Encyclopedia Britannica. We don't have that. You know what we got today? We got Wikipedia. It's free. Ain't no one flexing saying, I got Wikipedia. No, everybody got Wikipedia. It's the online encyclopedia for everybody. And any rando can swap it up to be what it is. There's no accuracy. If you did a school or a college paper back in the day and you used your you had to list your references, if you put Encyclopedia Britannica, you're good to go. Ain't nobody taking to what's your reference today? What's your reference? And you say, well, if you said Encyclopedia Britannica, most of these teachers ain't even going to know where that. What is that? Like I'm your teacher and like I've been to college and like I have no idea what Encyclopedia Britannica. You haven't been to Britain. You can't even flex with Encyclopedia Britannica because your teacher's a young dumbass and she don't even know what Encyclopedia Britannica. She thinks that's something for Britain. So you ain't been to Britain, so it can't be real. Ain't nobody going to let you use Wikipedia because it's bullshit. Anybody can write it in there, but it gets edited all the time. Wikipedia changes all the damn time. You can go and look at an entry for something and then the next day look at it and it's been swapped up. It's been changed. There's some editor's notes there. It's been censored, changed around, maybe even deleted. And if you've been deleted, maybe you didn't even exist. We went from Encyclopedia Britannica to this thing, the Wikipedia, which is constantly in flux. It's not an accident. That people started noticing all these going to the, you know, the meme about check the early life. You know, when people started really checking the early life on all these people that push this stuff. And all of a sudden, they started making that early life a little more difficult. You had to get a little further in the early life, you know. Used to be like the first line, click early life. Oh, he was born to a Jewish family. It was a shock. People would be shocked. But now you're going to have to dig a little further than that, you see, because Wikipedia is constantly in flux. Nothing is actually set in stone in Wikipedia. It's whatever somebody says it is today. Tomorrow, it might say something completely different. Nothing's set in stone. It is what they say it is. You see, how this works. If they're manipulating our perception of reality, they're just buzzing us with the 5G scrambling up. We're not sure. It's not made. I don't think it's about controlling us or making our brains work a certain way. It's about just making us unsure of what is real and what is not. Because if you don't know, at some point you got to give up. You got to trust in them. Another good example of this, in the same veins as the Wikipedia thing, internet search engines. Internet searching. Back in the day, you know, when the internet first really became a thing, you'd have to get on there. You'd use Netscape. You remember Netscape? You didn't have no Google Chrome. You got on the Netscape. You had to use Netscape, and then you could get on the internet. And there were like, what, 3 search engines? I remember back in the day, you could search anything. I mean, if you did a search for something, you'd find it. I mean, you weren't around for it. It worked. If you got a call on your phone, you didn't recognize the number, you could Google, you could search that phone number, and it'd show you. If it wasn't an unlisted number, it'd show you who it was. You look up anything on the search engine, it'd pull it up. You're looking for how to rebuild a lower unit on an Evinrude 75 horse outboard motor. You could Google that shit, and probably first page, it'd be a whole complete write-up on how to rebuild the lower unit on an Evinrude outboard motor. Ain't that way now, is it? You're trying to search for how to rebuild the lower unit on an Evinrude 75 horse motor. Well, the first 3 pages practically of your search results are going to be ads. And it will be ads for shit that ain't even close. Find outboard motors on Amazon. The lower unit price on each item can be found here. And you keep scrolling. And then you'll get into how to rebuild the top end on a Yamaha. And you're like, how did it get to this? These terms are not even anywhere in what I put in. It used to not be this way. You would be blown away. If you're young, you're too young for this. You're just going to take my word for it. Search engines used to just be just an amazing thing. You could plug anything in there and find it. You might have to dig a little bit, but it took very low effort. You could find anything you want. Now, all these years forward now, decades later, and I can't find a damn thing. You know, I'm not even talking about like unapproved history. That goes without saying you're going to get that, the politically incorrect history. We know you're not going to get that. I'm talking about trying to find normal shit. Like if I was trying to rebuild the lower unit on an Evinrude 75 horse motor, outboard motor, good luck. You can't find it. Everything's scrambled up. They just don't work. It's about warping our perception of what we get so scrambled. See, I don't think it's about, I for sure don't think we're jumping timelines. I think that's silly. What I do think, I don't even think it's about controlling us. Because I remember when the 5G thing was a big thing going around and people were talking about they're going to control us. There's nanobots in it, especially if you got the vaccine and these nanobots are going to activate and they can actually control your brain and your thoughts. No, I don't believe any of that shit. But I do think it's about basically keeping you in a state of confusion. A state of not being sure what is real and what is not. Because if you're basically in this constant state of you're not sure, you know, I swore I remembered this way, but now they're telling me it's this other. And let me go check, I don't know, Wikipedia. See, if you still had Encyclopedia Britannica, you could pull that book out and look up Dick Cheney and see if that son of a bitch really died, because they can't come in your house and change the book. And if you open the book and the book says, no, Dick Cheney's still alive, then you know you're remembering wrong. Get rid of your pride. Don't sit there and say, no, I'm not remembering. I can't be wrong. I jump timelines. No. But what has happened is, see, they're scrambling up your perception. You might be convinced you remembered a certain way, but you're wrong. You're misremembering. And it's not because you're faulty. It's because they're screwing with your perception of reality. And that's the goal. Because again, if you're confused and you have no idea, then at some point you're bound to give up and just look, I'll just go with whatever they say. It's too much work. I can't prove it either way. I'll just go with what they're telling me is real. Now you couple this with nobody's got Encyclopedia Britannica anymore. You know? So you go to Wikipedia and it says, no, Dick Cheney's still alive, but you don't know if that's real because they change it every day. Anybody can change it in there. Or a handful of people mostly, but you know what I'm saying? It's in flux all the time. You see, reality in Wikipedia is whatever they say it is today and whoever says it is. Tomorrow, someone else may get in there and edit it. And now reality has changed because it's edited on Wikipedia. That's why you got that now. Instead of Encyclopedia Britannica. Because they can't sneak in your house and change your Encyclopedia Britannica. That's why that had to go away. So are you saying these people were plotting this all these years ago? I'm saying it was a plan, yes. It's been, you know, it's a centrally organized plan. I ain't saying necessarily it was brought up, it was thought up by men, though. This gets back to, you got to understand that spiritual aspect. On that note, let's just keep this going. Let's get into the Christian specific segment. Talking about understanding the spiritual aspect of these things. We're going to keep this show rolling. So you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pieces. Let's get into this week's sermon, this week's Christian specific segment, if you would, here at the Parish of the Patriots. Now, I want to continue on in the vein of various government psyops and things such as that. But before we get off into that, Speaking of which, I don't know if any of you have noticed this. This is an aside, by the way, before we get off into the meat of our conversation today. But have any of you noticed? I know, like, I watch YouTube sometimes, and my YouTube content I watch has nothing to do with, basically, little to nothing to do at all with politics. It's a normie tier. I just watch fairly normie tier stuff on YouTube. And something interesting happened a few weeks ago. I started getting these recommendations, you know, because, you know, the YouTube algorithm will promote channels to you. And I've been seeing videos content creators were putting up how YouTube is like cracking down once again, you know, demonetizing content. Like if you have videos of any kind of racing in your car, like even if you're like at the drag strip and you're videoing racing, content creators are getting demonetized and videos banned and whatnot. So they're getting even more ridiculous with their censorship and things like that. And yet, here recently, I had a promoted channel pop. And this is one of those, you know, you look at the channel, you look at the content on it. It's obviously pretty professionally put together, to say the least, you know, because you can tell when some guy's just got basically a GoPro or his phone mounted up doing videos. This is a pretty high quality production. And I look at the title of the video and I'm like, well, I'm going to see what this is. And I click on it. And this person is basically going on saying things that, you know, we've known about for years. He's talking about how the U.S. government is under control of the Israel lobby, and basically Israel controls everything in the government, and all these politicians go and touch the wall. And I mean, the whole nine yards. I mean, it was a pretty hardcore video for a normie tier video. I mean, straight on about this. And I'm like, well, this channel won't be here tomorrow. And this video damn sure isn't going to be here tomorrow. And yet it is. The video didn't get taken down, didn't get demonetized. The channel didn't get taken down. In fact, this person put up another couple of videos along this same lines. And I thought, this is curious because it's not as though YouTube is now letting up, you know, and I'm reading the comments on here and a lot of people are like, yeah, I know this, you know, for years, it's good to see people coming around. And it's like, I think they're missing the point. YouTube censorship hasn't gone away. And now all of a sudden they're allowing this topic in certain areas. So my reaction then is, what are they up to? Because it's not like this slipped through the cracks. This isn't a tiny, obscure channel. It's a channel with quite a few subscribers, and the algorithm is promoting it in my feed. And I don't know what the answer to that is, but I found it curious, and I was reading, scrolling around on the internet, and I saw where other people have popped up and noticed the same thing. So I was curious if y'all have noticed it too. You see, so all of a sudden, you know, you're starting to see pretty hardcore content just randomly popping up in your feed. And it's like, again, it's not like YouTube has suddenly found a respect for the idea of freedom of speech. So I'm wondering what that's all about. I'm using my better judgment and staying away from it. Because what are you going to learn? You know, I mean, this, you know, it's fine. This person was saying, you know, pretty hardcore stuff, considering what's allowed in the normie sphere. But it's nothing new. You and I have known these things for a long time. And it's like, I'm not going to get anything out of watching it. I'm not going to get new information. But I just, it's some kind of trap. I don't know what the trap is. Maybe they're setting up some kind of false flag and then linking it back and saying, we need even more stricter. We need some actual anti-Semitism law, something. I don't know what it is. But I know a trick when I see it. The idea that all of a sudden YouTube's censorship algorithms is allowing hardcore content about how Israel and the Israel lobby and all the rest of it controls the government. Yeah, I'm not buying into it. Government PSYOP programs, because there's a lot, and I think a lot of them are in our face. Yes, this is now we're actually getting into the meat of what I wanted to talk about. And a lot of them are in our face, and we use them every day. Well, I don't. Most of these I don't, but a lot of people do. And they don't even realize they're training people. They're training us. And I was thinking all these different, and I'll point a few of them out as we go through here. But there's all these different psyops, things they use to control people. And I was thinking about these things and how the faith, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, the faith immunizes us against their programs. It doesn't matter how complicated, we don't even have to understand the ins and the outs of what they're doing and the why they're doing it. If we always come back to what we're supposed to be doing in the faith, we don't fall into their traps. And they are many traps. They're out trapping men. As it's written, the devil's like a roaring lion looking for who he can devour next. There's traps out there. And everybody, multitudes of people have fallen into these traps, which I believe carry out various purposes. A lot of which are control and shaping behavior. But again, if we're constantly doing what we're supposed to be doing in the faith. For instance, if you see a story, and always remember, anything you see in the media is just that. It's a story. They're telling you a story because they want you to adopt a viewpoint about something. And I think it's really important to always be, you know, aware of that. And you see a story and you'll get emotionally upset about it. That's normal. But you always should come back to, okay, well, what am I supposed to do in the faith? Is there a decision I can make that will change this? No, there's not. Okay, so what am I supposed to be doing? Well, I got to be looking at myself, continuously analyzing what I'm doing and sin and whatnot, and getting closer to the Lord. And all of that then goes away. Now, I think one of the, let's see here. Like I said, I've got several examples of things I've seen that's real common to see people fall into. And I think a lot of this is just a method of control and shaping the way people think. And some of them are just misconceptions. But again, if we're in the faith, if you're doing what you're supposed to do in the faith, you'll come back around and you will escape these various traps. Let's take a look at a few things I jotted down here. the God Bless America crowd, this is a very boomerish thing. If you're in the boomer or you know, the older generation, you're going to see this a lot. I know of a guy that has been this, and all of you probably do, and he has lots of, you know, he'll have signs up in front around his business and whatever about, you know, Jesus is the only hope for America. Pray for America. God bless our America. God bless America. God bless our troops. Jesus is the only hope for America. By the way, one of my favorites is when the police cars have "In God We Trust" on there. Like, there could be like nothing more inverted. Well, yeah, they're gay, but there's such an inversion. Now, for instance, when you see somebody doing this whole God bless America, pray for America, God bless our troops, God bless America, pray for Trump, Jesus is the only only hope for America. When you scratch off the obvious, shall we say, normie Christian, churchian virtue signaling here, it doesn't make any sense. I'm convinced that this system that we live under is one of probably the most wicked and evil that has ever existed. I'm not saying the most, because there's been wicked and evil regimes, the Soviet Union being one of the more recent examples of that. But I still believe that this current system we live under is one of the most wicked and evil regimes. I mean, can you think of any other regime that's ever existed that spent a whole month celebrating sodomy, an affront to God? I don't even think this is up for debate. And yet, why would Jesus, what are you praying for? Why would God bless America? And exactly, why would God bless our troops? This and pointing something like this out immediately makes some people start squirming. You're attacking America's heroes. It's a legitimate question. What are the troops? What are our troops? I have no ownership over them. That's another part of the deception. Our troops. They're not our troops. If they were our troops, then I could go out there and give them orders, or I would have some sort of influence over what they do. I have none. So they're not our troops. They're their troops. And exactly what are we praying for? That they can successfully murder some more people? Most of the time, virtually all of the time, that really don't have anything to do with us or a threat to me. What am I praying for exactly? Why would Jesus do anything to help America? When I make statements and say things like, you know, God's judgment is against this wicked country, I mean, that's not some sort of prophecy. I mean, any kind of vision. It's just looking at the reality of what this country is and knowing the Lord and putting two and two together. It's an affront to God. They rule by lies, constant deception. There's nothing godly about it. So what are you praying for? What is all of, when you scratch beneath the surface of all of this, of God bless America, Jesus, because you're supposed to drive by and see this and say, what a good, godly Christian man this is. He's praying for America. He says Jesus is our only hope. At the end of the day, what people like this are praying for, what they're actually saying, when we get to the heart of what we're supposed to be doing in the faith, we're constantly analyzing ourselves and looking at the truth of ourselves. Do we mean what we say? What do we actually mean when we say these things? Likewise, we can figure out pretty easily what somebody is saying. And what I've discovered in looking into cases like these, because, you know, in the area I am, it's not a unique thing to see this sort of conservative Christian, quasi-Christian virtue signaling about God blessing America. And 9 times out of 10, it appears what the case actually is what they're praying for is their own comfort. You know, God bless my bank account. God bless my 401k. God bless my pension. I don't want any discomfort, any disruption in my life. I'm retired. I want to do all the fun things I'm doing. I want to continue. I don't want to face any adversity. Now, this is a normal thing. Look, I've said this before. I'll say it again. Nobody wants to suffer, myself included. You know, nobody goes, man, I hope things really come out crappy today and I can get some good suffering in. Nobody does that. There's nothing sinful about the fact that we don't want to suffer. Where it does become a problem is here. You're praying for your own comfort. As I said before, we live, I think, under definitely one of the most wicked and evil, inverted, satanic, however you want to put it, regime systems that's ever existed. It's definitely going to fit right in with all of the others. And yet, people are proclaiming that Jesus needs to save America, and Jesus will save America if we just pray and ask him to, and will bless America, and of course our troops, which are doing so much for our freedoms. Again, the reality is these people are praying for their own comfort. And what does that say about their list of priorities? Our heart is supposed to be with the Lord. Our hope is in our treasure in the kingdom of God. And there's nothing wrong with having nice things here. What becomes a problem is when you get it twisted and you become a servant to those things. It's like money. There's nothing wrong with money. People go on and try to act sometimes like there's something inherently evil about money. There's nothing wrong about money, as long as it remains in its proper role. Money is supposed to serve us. You have money so that you can acquire things that you need. Money should always serve us. The danger, the inherent danger that lies in money is when you get its role twisted and you become a servant to it. And it's an easy thing to fall into. The wealthy, I've said this before, I'll say it again. These things bear repeating. The wealthy man will fall into becoming a servant to money because of his abundance of wealth. Nothing frightens him more than losing the wealth that he has. He becomes a servant to the money. And the roles are reversed. Money, again, is supposed to serve you. But on the flip side of that, what a lot of people miss is poverty. For the poor man, he too can become enslaved with money due to his lack thereof. All he can think of is if he only had money, no matter what problem the poor man has in his life, if he had money, it would be the answer. And in this way, again, it becomes twisted. He becomes a servant to it. He can even become tempted to steal or cheat or lie if it means he could get a little of it because he doesn't have any. And in his desperation, he becomes a slave and a servant to money, just in a slightly different manner than the wealthy man who becomes a slave in his abundance. When we critically look at ourselves as we walk in our faith, if you were one of these people doing all of this conservative, quasi-Christian virtue signaling, you would look at yourself and say, what am I actually asking for here? And you would have to confront the fact that what you're actually asking for is for God to maintain your comfort level. Now, this is a real problem because obviously you're putting worldly things ahead of the Lord. I think one of the most important things when Jesus taught the disciples to pray and he gave us the Lord's Prayer, I believe one of the most important things he emphasized in that lesson was thou wilt be done. I believe this is one of the most important lines in the Lord's Prayer. Thou wilt be done. Because what that means is, we come back to none of us want to suffer. That's a normal human thing. I don't think there's anything sinful in not wanting to suffer. But that's where that line comes in. Thou wilt be done. You know, the Lord, I appreciate, you know, you're praying and I appreciate all you've blessed me with and all you've done. But at the end of the day, your attitude has to be, thou will be done. When you look at the evil and the wickedness around us, in this country, this world. And you know, you're grateful to the Lord that you, maybe you have a little bit, or you've got a certain amount of comfort. You're not going hungry and you've got roof over your head. You're grateful for the things you have. And yet at the same time, you look at the evil and the wickedness and you think the Lord's going to punish this. He is not going to allow this to continue. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, what if a part of that, when he brings the hammer down, means that I lose this comfort that I have. I lose this ability to go out and eat, or you know, have a nice whatever it is you have, a nice bank balance or whatever it is you've got. This is where you have to say, thou will be done. You know, you appreciate what you've got. And yeah, it's normal that you don't want to face suffering and discomfort. But you know what? Lord, if that's your will, you know, your will above what I want, above my comfort. If it's in God's will to punish this, just wipe it out. And it means we're going to get caught up in it too. That's just the way it works. Then thou will be done. Again, Jesus gives us this example when he was praying right before being taken to the crucifixion. He wanted this cup to be, if it's in your will, Father, take this cup away from me. If there's some way, you know, that he was tormented by this because he knew what was coming, and who could blame him? And he prayed, if it's possible, take this cup away. We can't imagine something like that. We think we can sometimes, but we can't. But what did he always wind it up with? Your will be done, Father. In other words, if there's some way I can avoid going through this, Lord, please bless me with not having to go through it. But at the end of the day, if your will means I have to go through this, then so be it. That's the correct. He's demonstrated the correct attitude that we should have. Now, I want to get into some of the more widespread traps for people. PSYOPs, programs that are being used on people. And that is social media. Now, bear with me on this. Social media is everywhere. You have all these various forms. You get the TikTok and the Twitter. I refuse to call it X. You got the Twitter, the TikTok, the Facebook. I'm lumping it all together. And this is something that people are literally addicted to. And what would that look like? You got all these people doing this now, and how popular it is. Now, ask yourself a question. What if tomorrow they took social media and took away two things, the like button and the view count? And say they coupled that with an absolute 100% no censorship. You can go on whatever social media platform, and you can say whatever you want. You got 100% sure enough free speech guaranteed. No algorithm manipulation. No nothing. But they took away the like button and the view count. In other words, you can say what you want. It's posted up there. And you have no idea. Maybe just one person read it. Maybe 1 million people read it. You're not going to know. There's no likes. There's no feedbacks. You can say what you want. But you have no, you don't get a response from people. I believe the social media industry would collapse overnight because this is what people are craving. This is the conditioning. And what is it training you to do? What is it not training you to do? What is it exploiting? What human weakness is that exploiting? Well, again, as we walk in the faith and we're constantly looking at ourselves and analyzing our own behaviors, so with an eye towards correcting those behaviors that are out of line with the Lord, the whole social media system, everybody gets caught up talking about social media and censorship and all of this. But what gets missed is the entire social media setup is designed to exploit seeking the approval of men. Again, if you took away this, and there's nothing wrong with pointing out the censorship, that's fine. But I think in a lot of ways, it misses the point. If you 100% took away the censorship, guaranteed 100% free speech on every platform, but no like button, no view count, you have no idea how many people are watching it. The whole thing would go away because why? This is what people are seeking. This is what people are craving. The approval of men. That's not what we're supposed to be about. In our faith, we're not seeking the approval of men. It doesn't mean we're looking to be hated by everybody. That's silly. But what it means is the truth is our priority. Again, Jesus Christ provides the example for this. He'd go out, he'd tell the people things they'd never heard in a manner they'd never heard it. He's performing miracles, he's healing the sick, he's doing all these amazing things. Thousands of people show up to hear it because it's such an amazing show. Then the next day he says something they don't want to hear and they all leave. And he never once goes chasing after them, begging, wait, let me explain myself. He just lets them go. That's our example. He was never seeking the approval of men. At one point he gets told, you're doing this wrong. If you're looking to build a following, you've got to go over here and do this and tell people this, that, and the other. You're doing it all wrong. He wasn't trying to build a following. Jesus was not seeking the approval of men. He was giving out the truth. I find this to be one of the most uplifting examples Jesus set for us. I really do. Because at no point then, this tells us that at no point are we required to convince anybody to change their mind. This is why I think debates, internet arguments, whatever, are for the most part useless. I mean, I say for the most part because Jesus did engage in debates with the Pharisees. That was for the people standing around. He wasn't trying to change their minds. Jesus never went chasing after people, trying to convince them. Wait, hear me out. Wait, don't leave. That means we're not required to make people understand. We're required to give the information, to speak the truth. What they do with it, if they look at you and mock you and laugh at you and say you're crazy and walk off, that's not my problem. I don't care. I'm required to relay the information, to share the truth. If they shake their heads and tell you you're nuts, I'm not required at any point. No, you're required to go make them understand. It's an impossible requirement, and it is not. It wasn't required of the prophets, and it wasn't Jesus Christ didn't do it. Every time, whether you're talking about the prophets or Jesus, it was go out, tell them the information, tell them the truth. But in the case of the prophets, God would say, they're not going to believe you, but you need to go do it anyway so that they can't say they weren't warned. Seeking the approval of men is the opposite of that. Because what you're going to get sucked into is saying whatever you need to say to get more approval. That is what the social media system is set up to do. That it creates a feedback loop. If you post something every day for 5 days a week, you post one thing a day, and on Wednesday, what you post gets 1,000 likes and 500 reposts. But everything Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, barely any engagement. When you go back and post the next week, I can virtually guarantee you everything you post that week is going to be very similar to whatever it is you posted on Wednesday. Whether that thing is something that's just important to you or not is irrelevant. You are going to do that. And see, you've been trained. You betrayed because you're seeking that approval of men. When we're looking at ourselves and we're analyzing our behaviors and what we do, putting ourselves under our own judgment, you know, under judgment, so as to speak, and constantly building our faith and a closer relationship with Christ, we recognize that and go, well, whoa, what am I doing here? I'm not supposed to be seeking the approval of men. Once again, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, it immunizes from these things. I have no doubt social media is a huge part of what I will call here the program. All of these things are part of a bigger program. I will continue to maintain you can't fully understand everything that's going on around you until you understand that there is a spiritual element behind all of it. And social media is a key element of this program, but you're not going to fall for it. You're going to fall for it if you're analyzing and being honest with yourself of what your motivations are. Why are you posting the things you post? Well, because you like those likes and you want that feedback and you're seeking the approval of men. You're being trained. Now, a lot of these various things that get floated out here, one of the most ridiculous things are floating out here right now. Have you heard this? That scientists, the experts who have no credibility, especially after COVID, except with the people who are like literally NPCs. But the latest thing the scientists are saying is this asteroid that's out there coming towards us. It may be an alien mothership. This is the kind of bullshit they're actually floating out here. One of many. This is one of the most absurd. There's an alien mothership. Now, personally, and this is just my personal opinion, you don't have to weigh too much on it, but I do believe at some point they're going to do some kind of space alien hoax. They're going to use holograms and put, this is my opinion, y'all can laugh, it don't matter, it ain't going to hurt my feelings. But they're going to use holograms and project up in the sky these very realistic looking UFO ships. And everybody's going to buy into this bullshit. Why that is? Well, my other theory is they're going to get to that point. They're going to want to go ahead and introduce the demonic entities they've been taking advice from. And if they just say, hey, these are the demons that tell me what to do. But if they tell people this is, you know, I don't know, Morlock from the space galaxy Kwanzaa or whatever the hell. Just, it's like Star Trek, bro. They figure people will buy into it. But a lot, all of there's these multiple programs and again, stories they tell us. Stories. Look at how many stories they tell us and what are they? You're supposed to be, they want to keep you agitated and in a constant state of fear. There's a new virus. There's new, oh, COVID is mutated again. There's a new virus. There's a new pox. There's a new version of whatever the hell that's popped up and five people have already been infected. The experts warn this could spread like wildfire and wipe out half the population. They want you to be afraid. And a lot of this is geared towards making you afraid. They want you to be afraid all the time because at some point in time it wears you down and you'll agree to whatever just to make that negative feeling go away. But as believers, we're not supposed to be afraid. We're supposed to, our treasures in the kingdom of God, and they literally can't touch that. What are they going to take away? The things we have in this world, you know, we're going to lose those anyway. Every single person is going to lose those things anyway because this is temporary. You know, but so what exactly are they going to do? We're going to take it away sooner. Okay. But what about those things? We're supposed to be concerned with those things they can't take away. So exactly what are we afraid of? We might die. Everybody's going to die. I guarantee you that. It's another one of those guarantees in this world. With the exception of those who happen to be still here in this world, when Jesus takes the lid off this box we're living in, we're all going to die. Guarantee it 100%. Under various circumstances, that's irrelevant. For the most part, we are going to die. So again, what are they threatening us with? Death? Taking things, you know, that's going to come anyway? Taking away our things? Or material things that are going to be taken away from us anyway when we die. So what exactly are we afraid of? This, I think, ties into everything else we've talked about. Are we going to be afraid if we say, Lord, thy will be done. May God's will be done. This is something we should say in confidence and not fear. If we're not hung up on placing all of our value in what we have here, our own comfort, our bank account, whatever, And we say, thy will be done. What are we afraid of? What do they have to hold over our heads? They have all these programs. They do put all this effort into making everybody whipped up into a state of fear. And it's going to work on most people, but it shouldn't work for you. It shouldn't work for us. It should not work for the faithful. You know, I mean, yeah, we might initially have, if I walk outside and I see an alien, a holographic alien mothership rumbling over the top of my house, I'm going to be a little bit like, wow. Before I start probably laughing hysterically about it. Because considering the way, you know, the competence level has gone down, this thing is probably not going to look as slick as they think it's going to. But either way, we're not supposed to be afraid. They have all these programs. They put all this money. They spend countless billions of dollars to what? Constantly generate a state of fear, panic, a crisis. Because in those situations, you'll pretty much turn a blind eye to whatever they do if they're promising to alleviate that. But for the believer, we're not supposed to really... What are they threatening us with? Exactly. Now, as a final note here before we wrap up, look, there's nothing wrong with being initially tricked. You know, they will throw things at you, and you know, it takes a minute to react. You know, you might get upset, you might get fearful at first. There's nothing wrong. This is a part of knowing the process. We're working through our stuff, and I almost got into it today instead of doing this, but I decided to do this. And I may do it next week. I don't know. No promises. But I want to get into the apostles working through their stuff, particularly the Apostle Paul, as a good example of, you know, it's normal. We're supposed to be working through our issues. And I think we get really good examples in Paul's letters that he is working through his issues. Like I said, obviously I went with this today, but I may do that next week. I don't know if... We'll see what happens. We work through our issues. This is the process that we're doing here. This is what Jesus enabled us to be able to do, to go through the process of working through this. So there's nothing wrong with being initially tricked. There isn't, because they're crafty. they're very crafty. They're conniving. They serve the master of lies. So there's nothing wrong with being initially tricked. The thing is that if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, walking in the faith, it shouldn't stick. You know, they might hit you at first to make you afraid or get you anxious or get you thinking that A is going on when A winds up being a lie and actually it's B going on. But as long as you're constantly working and analyzing these things and looking at yourself and remembering at the end of the day, you've got to circle back and do what you're supposed to. You know what you're supposed to be doing in the Lord. Do that. Don't worry about these things you have no control over. Thy will be done, Lord. As long as you do that, these things aren't going to stick. You know, they're not. Don't beat yourself up if they initially get you tricked. Just be grateful when you work through the process and you see how strong and powerful the process is. That you, in pretty short order, you recognize and realize, oh no, that's a trick. They're lying once again. Not shocking. Nothing wrong with being tricked. But if we're working through the process like we should, it shouldn't stick. We should be able to escape the trap, escape the trick, escape the deception. And get back on. It always comes back to centering on what we're supposed to be doing. This mission we have. God's will for your life. You know, make the decisions you need to make. That you can actually do. And continue to seek Him. Serve Him. Look at yourself. Work through your own things. Your own issues. To continue to grow close to the Lord. Get back to that center. You always retreat back to that center. You get scattered out there sometimes. We all do. You get scattered out there on these side issues. But then you got to reel that back in. And what am I supposed to be doing here? Let me get back to that. If we do that, we're going to be fine. We're going to wrap up on that note. I appreciate you joining us today. I hope you got something out, specifically the Christian specific segment. I appreciate you tuning in. Dr. Johnson will be here tomorrow with the Orthodox Nationalist. He will wrap up our week with his Daily Nationalist on Thursday. I hope you'll get a chance to check out all the great content here this week on Radio Albion. I hope you do have a great and fruitful week. Don't be afraid. And I hope to see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.